You're waking up with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Want Boston sports 24/7? It's easy. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Who said you can't go home? Well, I don't know if it was brought up yesterday, but Mike Vrabel is coming home. Did anybody mention that during the press conference when they were asking questions?
I might have written
yesterday?
Three promos that included that.
We're awaiting Mike Vrabel, who will join us on this show for the first time as the head coach of the New England Patriots. And Wiggy's teammate played a year together here and reintroduced himself to New England yesterday. And cannot wait to get into it with Mike. And, you know, depending on how this season goes, he's more I think media-wise, Mike Vrabel is more Bill Belichick-like than he is Mayo-like. So I think these Mondays with Mike will be great as long as they're winning. We'll see how things go.
Will the anxiety come back?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not
anxiety. You don't have any anxiety like you had with Bill.
No.
I think the only way to describe Vrabel is he's just himself. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, obviously the battles are legendary in practice with him and Brady going back and forth. I still think the coolest story that Bill Belichick told was about how it was like 2019, 2020 when they were doing the joint practices with the Titans. And he said that Vrabel played every position on scout team of the opponent's best player to get the offense ready. So if it was the Ravens, he was Ray Lewis.
Brian Urlacher.
If it was the Urlacher, if it was the Bears. Yeah. Or if it was Polamalu, if it was the Steelers. Like, he was a guy that learned every position on the field and used that to attack Brady, probably because it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was a way to get, you know, that's how they kept getting better.
Well, I feel like it seems like pretty quick he talked a lot about the offensive line yesterday during that press conference. I feel like he's identified, you know, not that everybody watching hadn't, but a number one need for that team.
I was just going to say the way in which he talked about his experience in Tennessee and how people probably thought he was the O-line coach as well with the way in which he handled that team. Mm-hmm. That, I think, alone can get a lot of fans excited because I think him bringing that up specifically, he knows that that's a need here.
We're going to talk to Ty Law at 9 after we're done with Mike Vrabel, and Ty Law is all over Josh McDaniels as the absolute go-to when it comes to offensive coordinator. I've heard a lot of people rumble about it, and now you're going too far back to things that worked here. And
if he's successful, and I think Drake May is going to have a good year. I think the offense has to be better. I know we've said that for 5 years, but then you know McDaniels is going to stay. You know, if it's a young up-and-coming coordinator and the Patriots somehow go to 10-7 or 9-8 next year and they make a playoff push, there's the potential that that coordinator is hired by another team that's searching for the next young hot offensive coach.
But don't you feel like that's the case now just in general, is that it seems like NFL owners are going back to, and I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen with Josh McDaniels, but NFL owners are looking to hire guys that have had head coaching experience. There's still going to be guys that don't have that, like the Ben Johnsons of the world, but you start to see, like, you know, Vrabel head coaching experience, Harbaugh head coaching experience, Dan Quinn former head coaching experience. You start to see that, you know, looks like Chicago, they're interviewing Mike McCarthy, and I'm not saying he gets the job, but there's somebody that has had head coaching experience. It seems like some of these owners are kind of going back to that and maybe getting out of the where you – maybe are a little bit hesitant to, is this guy's first year doesn't have any experience.
Yeah, and on the head coaching at that level, yes.
Right.
I think you see coordinators that are given the opportunity and do a great job.
Right.
I mean,
look at the playoff team. Sirianni, that's his first job.
Yes.
McVay, that's his first job.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell, that's his first job.
Right.
Sean McDermott, that's his first job. I don't know.
Harbaugh would be his first job.
So, I mean, it can happen. I mean,
but
what all those people have are organizational depth and understanding, where it's like everybody going in the same direction. And I think what you get with McDaniels, if if it works, is you get a long runway. McDaniels is never coaching in the NFL again as a head coach. He basically burned those places down.
Morning.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.
What's up?
How Welcome. Are you? What's going on, brother?
Here he is, joining us right now here at Gillette Stadium, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, already geared up in what are we calling this? Like a half.
That's a quarter zip,
half hood. We had a guy here who had a particular style sense, game time attire. You seem to lean toward the half zip vest.
Love the quarter zip. Yeah, we'll cut the sleeves off here later in the day.
Okay. All right.
I've been busy.
Okay.
They couldn't cover this guy. Unreal.
Okay.
He would get us down to the end zone. I'd go in and score, but during the field, they couldn't cover him.
Yeah.
No, that was when Foyer was saying he scored the touchdowns.
He started stealing his catch. Though in the end zone, he wasn't happy about that.
No, not
it
me.
wasn't too hard to steal from Christian.
How are you?
Fantastic. Awesome.
Great to be back in the building.
Oh yeah, I mean, already Elliot and I have been meeting here for a couple hours and just trying to go through the roster and have a lot of meetings and get through the staff and the support staff and everything that's critical and the scouts and get to know them and see where they're going and how we can help and support them.
You want us to start easy or go
wherever you want to go.
So on the topic of Elliott, and this may not be the case, but it seemed like the case in Tennessee was that there became an issue when it came to you earning full roster control and kind of wanting to be in that role in addition to the head coach role. If that's accurate.
No, we didn't win enough games in Tennessee. I think that's the problem. that's never been an issue.
Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with this arrangement?
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here, and I think that through the conversations and the interview process and the conversations over the weekend with Elliot and with Robert and Jonathan and just trying to put a roster together in a program. That to me, that's the biggest thing. I want to try to put a program around our coaches, our support staff, our personnel department, our players most especially, that people want to be a part of, that they're proud of, that they invest time and energy in, and we can start to see results, beginning here in the offseason when we don't have the players, and then when we have the players in April, that these guys are like, okay, I feel like what we're doing is going to help me. We don't want to waste anybody's time, especially the players' time. So this is all very important to me, and it's all very calculated after having done it, for 6 years in Tennessee.
Mike, when you look at coaching, you've been in this business a long time. The most important position it looks like you have covered in Drake May. How important is it now for you guys to make sure you put the right pieces around them, especially in free agency where it looks like you guys have some money? And, when we think about that, elite wide receivers have done such a great job. You look at your former player in A.J. Brown and what that means. What's the kind of thought process going in that direction moving forward?
Well, again, we talked about this passer rating efficiency in which we throw the football, right? You don't have to throw it 50 times. I think an interesting stat was I think the passes, quarterbacks that attempt more than 50 passes a game have won 22% of their games. Jeez. Other than Tom Brady, so he's won like 70% of the games that he's had to throw for more than 45 times or something. So if you don't have Tom Brady, then you probably shouldn't throw it 45 or 50 times a game. That's not the point here. The point is that when we throw it, which will be as many times as we need to, that you want to be efficient, right? That you want to have great completion percentage, which then leads to receivers, going back to the question about receivers that have great catch radius, right, that can create separation, that are good against contested catches, right? Because when you're contested and PBUs go up in the air, then they get intercepted, right? And then that leads to turnovers, which then changes field position and all these things. So we have to focus on the line because I think that the best teams right now in the National Football League are the ones that still have the best offensive lines that are changing the line of scrimmage. Protecting the passer, have versatility in a run game, can run a zone scheme, can run a gap scheme, because I don't think you can just major in just saying zone, right? Because teams that penetrate and disrupt the zone play, you got to be able to find ways to double and move gaps and change gaps and force them to move positions. So with that being said, you know, want to focus on some of those areas. Offensive line, we'll take a look and see what skill we have here at receiver and give everybody a new opportunity to kind of come in. It's a clean slate. Decide who wants to be here by their actions, and then continue to evaluate.
You brought up Tom Brady. Was the reporting accurate that he reached out and you said, "Nope, I'm going to New England."
Well, I don't know if that was the case. Tom and I have had many discussions. I think, you know, we're friends. We're teammates. We're friends. We've continued to talk throughout my career in coaching, his career as he played, and now his new transition. So, you know, we've talked and we'll continue to talk. But, you know, this is the place where I wanted to be, and this is the place that I'm at.
Would he have been a good boss? I mean, is he managed? What's his management style?
I don't know. I didn't stick around long enough to find out in the conversation.
Mike, I loved what you said about culture yesterday and how building a culture, it's important when you're at your lowest. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this team in particular, theoretically, how long will it take to build back a culture?
Well, that's all based on the players and, you know, that are willing to invest and change behavior if it's needed to be changed, and how quickly they hold each other accountable, how close we become. You know, I think we're going to spend a lot of time in being very you know, conscious of the relationships in the building. You know, and I'm new here and haven't been here since 2008. And so I want to make sure that how can I help the support staff? But when the players come in, they have to know each other. The coaches have to know the players. There has to be a relationship there that's, you know, built on trust and built on communication and trying to give the players exactly what they need. So I hate to put a timeline on it because I don't know. That could happen quicker. That could happen, you know, it may go into training camp, and you need to go through training camp. Training camp's essential, you know, to building a team, and going through practice and staying, you know, with each other for a lot of hours. And sometimes you get in arguments in training camp. Sometimes there's fights. Sometimes there's, you know, things that happen, but you're all doing it just to continue to build a team.
Do you find that being a coach and seeing from your time playing to Tennessee to now, there's been a change in the way in which the player is or acts? Because we talk about the millennial player right now and how different that is. Have you had to adjust your coaching style to make that better?
Well, I just have to be conscious of the relationship and the connection of the players that are coming in. You know, what they need each day for me to be successful. Some, you know, Jermaine may need one personality and one style. Greg may need something else. And I have to do a great job of understanding what each one of those players needs, how they respond best.
I like to be coddled.
Yes.
That didn't surprise me one bit.
He's
can tell. I've known that for 20 years.
Yes.
I didn't have to. I didn't have to coddle you when I was kicking your ass all over the golf course.
That is not going to happen.
That is,
I think that the system where we are getting a different player, and whether it's the millennial or whether it's specifically the college structure right now, which allows for transfer. Which again, they're 18. Some of them make a decision that they wish they could have over, and I like some of the idea of being able to go to another college, but there's an NIL, they're being compensated. And so I think that they come to our league, and not every one of them, but some of them have to change some behavior, and we want to remove entitlement from our program. We want to make sure that we're not entitling players to do something and earn something by not having worked for it.
Wiggy and Ty Law on the show, Ty's going to be on at 9, even Ninkovich talk about the difference that there was in this locker room now and then with guys holding other guys accountable. Mm-hmm. Was that your experience?
Well, that was my experience here. But that's not like that every year. That's hard to create. That's a unique relationship that is between the players. And again, I have to try to, and along with Elliot and our personnel department, is bring in those types of players that will do that. And again, if they don't, then that's where I have to step in and protect the team.
It's a little bit easier when you got a guy like Willie Mack walking around the
right.
locker room. Well, to police it.
You'd run and hide.
Hey, listen.
You'd go run and hide in the bathroom.
I know my role, man. I know my role.
I think that's great because I watched you and Teddy were on the Man in the Arena from years ago talking about that third Super Bowl championship season. And I thought it was so well done in how you and Teddy were discussing that you were the ones that created the culture that some referred to as the Patriot way or whatever, where you held each other accountable. It wasn't about doing what was necessary. It was about doing everything you could and demanding that from the people that you saw walk into their car at 7:30 or whatever.
Yeah, you just wanted to be able to just to know that somebody else was as invested as you were personally, but also was willing to put the team first and make a decision that was maybe better for somebody else than it was for your own personal situation. And then as far as being on time, studying, learning, how hard you played, how hard you, you know, willing to communicate on the practice field, how well you came back in shape. Like, we don't have a whole lot of time, you know, with the rules that we have and the, you know, the off season. So it's critical that they come back in shape, and that's a commitment that they make. We don't have time to probably get back in shape once April starts. Like, if we're not ready to go come April, you know, there'll be some catching up to do.
Mike Vrabel is our guest at Gillette Stadium for the first time as the head coach of the New England Patriots. I have been demanding that you be hired for this job for quite some time. Those who were opposed to it would argue that you're a run first and run only guy.
No, our best player was our running back. So
that's what I said.
As you can see, so as you can see in Baltimore, and you know, so we tried to structure the, you know, the offense. I mean, we tried to build the offense around what we felt like was our best player and what was our strength. And you know, when we did have pieces around Derek that we felt comfortable with, you know, we threw it just as successfully as we ran it, and we were good in the red zone. I felt like we were creative. But that, you know, that you base whatever system and scheme that you have on the players that you have. So
and
I do think there's a lot of versatility in on not only myself, but hopefully that the coaches that we hire.
And seems like a different situation here when you look at what Drake May can be.
Sure. And, yeah. And again, we want to throw it as much as we can remain efficient and explosive. You know, want to gain as many players as we can that are tough to tackle, that you don't have to throw the ball 50 yards downfield to create an explosive play. Now, we'll have that ability, but you see around the league, some guys, you know, you flip it out there and they're a good catch and run guy and they're hard to tackle. And, you know, you force defenses to tackle, you force secondary players to tackle. We have good guys that are good in space. And again, then, how skilled are we up front? How physical we are up front? But there's still something to being able to run the football when you have to in short yardage situations around the goal line, you know, to be able to control the pace of the game late in the game. You know, when you play with a lead, these games every year they get closer and closer, just how the league wants it, right? So everybody watches till the end of the game, and hopefully everybody has a shot, and how critical we can execute in the 4-minute, 2-minute situations. And so there is going to be an element that our physicality is going to have to play in, and running the football is going to be part of it, but it won't be the entire thing we do.
Mike, one of the things that, you know, coming up in my career that I really respected in, from coaches, obviously I have Parcells and Belichick, was transparency and putting the team above yourself. Based on a lot of your former players, they reiterate those same words about the respect level for a coach that makes sure every player understands their role and it's team first. How do you make sure that you continue that coming to a team that might have had some issues and making sure that message is received loud and clear?
Yeah, well, the communication by me is critical, that it is clear, it's clean, it's concise, and it's direct. Like you said, the transparency. I'm always going to be honest with the player. They may disagree, but I'm also going to listen to them. I'm going to listen with the intent to understand them and not listen with the intent to respond. But I'm also going to treat them the same way they treat the team. And if they treat the team really well, I'll be willing to listen to anything that they have to say, any suggestions. If they don't treat the team very well, if they don't, you know, if they're not on time or they're not in shape or they don't play hard or they don't study, or they're disrespectful to somebody in the support staff. Hopefully they're not here long, but if they are, I don't have much to say to them, or not really going to take their input. So, like you mentioned, I think the biggest thing is that average players want to be left alone. They want to come in, they want to pick up their check, they want to eat for free and go home. good players want to be coached and great players want to be told the truth. And every great player that I've been able to coach in the past 6 years has always come and said, what do I need to do to be better? What do I need to do to be great? And you tell them, and then they seek the truth, and then their job is to then handle the truth.
What's your timeline on hiring coordinators?
No timelines. Same thing we talked about yesterday. We're not going to deal with timelines with injuries, or, you know, we're not going to deal with the hiring of staff and when that's going to be complete. It's a long process. It's one that, you know, will go out a few weeks. It could go out longer than that, right? It's always delicate when you have teams that are continuing to play in the playoffs. Potentially the movement that could occur with coaches on other staffs and related to their contracts. So it's just not as cut and dry as, hey, these guys are going to walk in tomorrow and we're going to have a full staff.
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at every possible candidate that I feel like can help us. And we're going to start that process today. This afternoon and visit with some great coaches and then we'll see where things go. And
is
that's
he
on all three
is
phases.
He on the list?
It's a long list.
Yeah,
there's a long list, and I've had a relationship with Josh, and I've had relationships with other offensive coaches and defensive coaches that we're going to interview and want to bring in here.
Yeah. How much pressure is there on the OC, though? Wiggy brings up building a team around Drake, but making sure that he doesn't have a revolving door of offensive coordinators throughout his time here.
Well, I mean, this is a production business. So I think pressure comes with everyone that's a part of this thing, whether you're a player or whether you're a coach, and I think you have to embrace the challenge of just getting it right. That's all we want to do is we want to get it right, and if our players can handle a lot, we're going to give them a lot. And if they just need to get out there and get lined up and be able to snap the ball so that we're going to avoid self-inflicted wounds and we don't want to have unforced errors. But if we can handle a lot and we can move and we can shift and we can motion and we can go play on the football and, you know, try to apply some pressure defensively, then those are all things that we'll be able to do that I've done in the past with multiple coordinators.
Mike, I don't want to add any pressure, but you
probably won't be able.
But
to
you're here, you're here to save us, like the entire region. Like, are you aware?
I think we're all aware of what what our job is here to do.
And we have high expectations,
and so do I. Okay. Yours aren't higher than mine. I can promise you that.
I just, on that note, like, you are a guy, obviously, the Jets, you were rumored with every opening that you were going to potentially have an opportunity to coach in the NFL for several teams. If you could dial it, you know, to signify one thing why you chose to come back and coach this Patriots team, what would it be?
Well, I don't think there is just one, but I just, like I said, it's the right time, it's the right place, with the right people.
Were you, this team, Wiggy brought up money, this team has over $130 million available salary cap wise.
He's always talking about money.
That's what happens when you don't make a lot when you play.
I think that, you know, from the outside.
401k.
I got to wait till I'm 65. I'm on LinkedIn if you need a tight end coach.
You look 65.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hiring, Wiggy, you missed this probably, but Wiggy was the head coach of the Brockton football team for 1 year.
Trying to give back to the kids.
Just one season.
The boxes?
Yeah, the boxes.
The boxes.
Just 1 year, but if you're hiring.
Yeah,
I mean,
tight end coach. I'm on LinkedIn.
But were you able to, in your discussions with...
Only for option routes. You ain't coaching blocking.
I mean, who really blocks nowadays? Let's be honest. What tight end block?
Were you able to get assurances from Robert during your discussions when considering this job that you are going to be able to spend that money?
Yeah, I'm comfortable that, you know, that Ellie and I are going to be able to find ways to add productive players, great people, to this football team, and that's through the draft, that's through free agency. So I'm confident that we'll be able to have the resources that we need to go sign players within a limit. And we understand that free agency isn't the only answer. It's not 100%, as you all know, but it's about adding the right players and that we feel like can help the team and that we're comfortable with. And sometimes if you don't know them, you also don't know what you're going to get.
Is this still a destination when it comes to free agents?
Well, I mean, I think that we have to make it a destination. And again, I'll tell you a story about free agency. When I got to Houston, they had natural grass in the their dome, and they would wheel it out and they'd cut it into sections. And I'm like, this is unique. Like, what's this? And they're like, well, you know, we thought that the free agents would want to play on natural grass. I said, the only thing free agents care about is green, and it's not natural grass. So there's two forms of free agency. It's the one is trying to go out and maximize your earning potential and go for the top dollar. And we see that early on in free agency, the first couple days, maybe the first week. Then after that, I try to tell players it comes down to opportunity. And what's, you know, if you'd want the best opportunity to go and be able to produce and contribute, and then that's going to lead to then the next, you know, form of free agency where then you could take advantage of the system in a year or two or whatever you sign with us. So, you know, I was one of those players that coming from Pittsburgh and signing here, it was about the opportunity. It wasn't about the dollars. That turned into being able to have those types of contracts as my career went on and the production increased and all those other things. So we're going to identify players at all different levels, and it's a process putting it all together.
Maybe if you provide free books on the sidelines, you might be able to get a certain wide receiver here.
Yeah, we'll see. But that
was he a big reader back when you guys were together?
I think AJ's just trying to find ways to he's, I'm proud of his development, his personal development, and working on himself and working on controlling his and getting back to center. And again, he's a passionate player, and I love him to death, and I have a very, very close relationship with him.
That book's like number one on bestsellers
it
right
is?
Now. Skyrocketed,
oh,
yeah.
Wow. Good for him.
Wiggy,
get some royalties.
Wiggy wants the audio book.
Yeah.
I can't read.
Yeah. Are you saying voracious reader? I thought you were talking about Wiggs.
No. Give me an audio book.
Billy, we have a special guest on the line.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. That Billy in the car that wanted to celebrate.
Billy in the car. All right. Well, let's go to him. Let's go to Billy from Chestnut Hill. Hey, Billy.
Hey, first time caller, long time
long time listener. It
from
is
Andova.
Bill O'Brien.
Andova.
Let's go Patriots. How we doing, guys?
You got any players up there yet, Billy? We find any
we
players?
Do. We do, man. Are you gonna? Hey, man, you gotta come to our pro day. Come speak to our team. I mean, I've already put my dibs in on that. So, I'm excited for Mike. I'm excited for the Patriots, and it's gonna be awesome. No quash.
They Boston College is in good hands. They have great coaching staff, great leadership. Got great facilities. They redid the facility a couple years ago.
That's
it's
awesome.
Unbelievable. So.
Yeah.
Billy, I can't believe that I get to see you. You know, I could tell you some stories about working for Billy O. So they call him the teapot.
Oh, the teapot.
So he'd go off, and then 30 seconds later, he'd be like, "What's wrong with you guys? Why are you looking at me?" I'm like, "Billy, you just cussed out every one of us for 30 seconds, and now you're looking at us like, what's wrong?" So the teapot would just boil over, and then he was fine.
Would you, when he and Tom went at it, would you go over and calm them both down after?
Oh, he gave way to Tom. Like, that was just Billy trying to act tough on TV.
Well, he did. I got to tell you, I'm sure he's – I don't know if he saw the press conference yesterday, but Mike said a lot of nice things about you, and you lived up to the promise to turn him into a head coach. So it's something to be proud of, Bill.
No, I appreciated those comments. And, you know, like I've said several times this week that, Mike's a great coach. He was a great assistant coach. He's been a hell of a head coach, and he's exactly what the Patriots need. And, you know, he'll come in there and he'll treat everybody in that building with great respect, and he'll be fair with every player, but he'll demand a lot. And the standard of how they practice and how they lift weights and how they run and how they condition and obviously how they play games and how they execute, you know, it'll be way up there. So everybody in the region's excited, and it's great for the Patriots and great for Mike.
Any advice for him on navigating the waters around here? Any area, any offices he should stay out of or anything?
Avoid bowling? Or
probably the one I'm sitting in right now. the media studio.
Yeah, this is the one to stay out. Unfortunately, you're contractually required.
Oh, you haven't read my contract.
All right, Bill O'Brien, we'll talk to you again Thursday, but great to hear from you.
See you guys.
I'll see you, Billy. Great.
Yeah.
See you, man.
I mean, you got to – unfortunately, you got to do every Monday with us, win or lose.
You don't have access to my contract.
I mean, we're going to be killing you when you go for two or something, and
then you're going to have
to come in here and answer.
I don't have to come in here. Technically, I can just call in from my office. I just have to do it. I don't have to actually be here.
That is true. The man with the gold makes the rules.
Was that another thing that when it came to Tennessee? I know you probably don't want to dwell on the past, but just to clear up all this stuff, was that another thing too, where you kind of disagreed with the analytics guys, like you went for two that game in Miami or whatever, and they were all butthurt about it? Was that an issue or is not?
The game we won?
Yeah. Where are you on analytics?
I'm not sure where you get your information at. The analytics, we want to use as much information as we can to make great informed decisions in real time with real people. And things change, right? The weather, the backups, who you have in the game, like how the defense is playing, how their offense is playing, have you stopped them? And you know, we'll always try to use that information, and excited to get with our staff here to see what they've done, whether that's in, you know, acquiring players. Like, I look at analytics, and I look at it in three phases. One is in player acquisition. How do you apply analytics and the numbers and the data, play speed, estimated play speed, all these different things that you can use to evaluate players. That's one area that we're going to try to use it. You know, the other one is in, player, you know, health and safety. How do we manage our players? What's the workload? What's their speeds? How often do they get to 90% of their max speed, right? You see all these numbers come out of the game. Let's say a player's max speed is 20 miles per hour. Well, then we feel like at least one time between games you should go 90% for a certain distance. So you should run 18 miles per hour for X amount of distance if you're a gunner or a receiver or a player that does that. Like, we can see what they do in the game, and we want to make sure that they're recreating that at least once during the season or once during the week. So then how we track player load management, how we construct practice, all these things that we're going to use the data. And then the final piece of analytics is game management and, you know, risk ratio of going for it and all those different scenarios that you look at throughout the game. So those are the three buckets that obviously we're going to always try to use analytics and then make a decision.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time.
Always a pleasure.
It, great. Glad to have you.
Good luck, man.
Nice to meet you.
Let's go to work.
Okay. We are going to go back to work now.
Get started on this. All right. That is Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots. We'll be right back.